Those who show no trust will not be trusted. Those who are quiet value the words. When their task is complete, people will say, "We did it ourselves." Of course, none of this means much to the average person. But I will explain to you the depth of why this is so very important and offer you a story that I have told many times before, but still reigns supreme as the classic story of benevolence. You see, what Lhotse is doing in number 17 is very brave. It doesn't register with most people because it has nothing to do with logic and reasoning, self-preservation. We live not in compassion, not in benevolence. We live in self-preservation. And it is the most important aspect to us of our own life. There is no benevolence in us. We just don't think of it that way. Benevolence is defined as the quality of being well-meaning, kindness. What Lhotse is saying is that great supreme rulers are hardly known by their subjects because they are benevolent. Our society, our culture is very selfish, unkind. For years, I have been a teacher who depended upon the benevolence of his students to be able to continue my work. It has been a very difficult course for the 53 years I've been a teacher. Because my students, like most people, have no sense of benevolence. They don't think of anyone else but themselves. I want to read to you this story. I want it to be a story that not only you've heard, but maybe you hear differently now. It is an important story. And while I have told it before, it still reigns supreme as one of the most important stories I've ever told. In the 1930s, a rather unusual court case came to pass. An elderly woman was being charged for stealing a loaf of bread. She seemed to have good cause. She was poor and taking care of her daughter and grandchildren after the father had abandoned them. Unfortunately, the storekeeper refused to drop the charges. He felt it was because it was a bad neighborhood, and if one person stole and got away with it, it would encourage more people to do so. He feared for his own safety and his business, and he wanted to teach all the other people in the neighborhood a lesson. He thought he would certainly be able to do that if he pressed charges. And if he pressed charges, it would stop the thieving. The mayor of New York, LaGuardia, was known for occasionally stepping in as the magistrate of the court. He would preside, over certain cases of special interest. He was well-loved by many and many knew him for being firm yet fair. In this instance, LaGuardia stepped to the front of the courtroom, placed his famous hat down, and prepared for his ruling. The shopkeeper is correct, as he looked at the elderly lady, that you have broken the law and that you must be punished. You will spend 10 days in jail and pay a fine of $10. Back then, $10 was a hefty sum of money. The woman knew she was going to jail, and the shopkeeper was quite happy with the outcome. But nobody could have imagined what would happen next. Something interesting was brewing inside Mayor LaGuardia's head. As he spoke, the woman's sentence out loud, he slowly pulled from his pocket a $10 bill. He placed it into his infamous hat and stated that her fine was now paid. The look of shock on the storekeeper's face was priceless. How could the mayor betray the people like that? Businesses who had paid taxes of the city and helped keep it running. Meanwhile, a poor, law-breaking, thieving woman was being let off scot-free without any punishment whatsoever. What is going on here? Nobody understood that until Mayor LaGuardia issued his second sentence to the afternoon's proceedings. In addition to the $10 fine this woman has now paid, I fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents. The room gasped in shock as he continued. For living in a town where a grandmother must steal bread so she could feed her daughter and her grandchildren so they would not starve, is the real crime. Bailiff, collect the fine right now. And he did. Do you think people learned a lesson there? You see, this is a supreme ruler, and he was teaching us the benevolence necessary that really a law should have within it, should be ensconced in. We are not benevolent people. Does it keep you up at night thinking about what you should give and how you should help humankind? What you should give to serve humankind? Not hardly. People run off guilt and shame for the way they've lived their life. Lao Tzu knew this. He realized that people let conditions and circumstances control them. The person, he says, who gives from his abundance to those who need lives accordingly in the way. This is most important to understand. Instead of turning our heads away from the needs and the services that are necessary to help humankind, if we pointed our attention towards what we could do, what we can do to help people, we would be facing, we would be facing our nobility, but at the same time, we would also be facing our doubts, our anger, our fears, our human need to survive at all costs. When a student says to me something like, "Oh, I'm working on myself," when I know they're not, I remind them of their benevolence by asking them, "How benevolent have you been in your life?" They don't even understand the word benevolent. To be kind, to be merciful, to be forgiving. This is the essence of benevolence. LaGuardia understood the bigger picture. He was saying, look at us. We can't even be kind to this elderly lady. We just can't be kind to her. We can't be benevolent. She was desperate. We are cynical about people in need. I deal with it constantly in hospice and in my effort with the BATMO kids. Their parents work very hard, but it's not enough. There's prejudice, deep, profound prejudice in our culture. And Lhotse talks about this, that the rulers who are lesser than are feared and even despised. We admire that. We miss the opportunity to serve humankind. If you sit with yourself long enough in meditation, if you even sit long enough with yourself in contemplation, you will understand. I have been self-serving all my life. I have not been quiet, observant. My darlings, there is no way I can teach you benevolence. There's no way I can teach you the benevolence of virtue and being a noble person. If your attentions are drawn to self-preservation, then this is going to be of utmost importance to you, and no one, including me, could ever take that away from you. You see, we must suffer the consequences of being unkind, the consequences of being ruthless. We have no sense of sanctity for our life or anyone else's life. There is no way I can teach you this. I can talk about it as I am right now. LaGuardia could do what he did, which was brave and noble, benevolent. No politician is like that. They are the lowest branches of the tree of our society. And yet, we expect them to be that way when it comes to others, but not ourselves. When a meditator becomes a true meditator, when a student becomes a true and authentic student, they break the bond between their guilt and shame of the way they've lived their life, and they bring restoration to their living, benevolence, nobility, virtue. Let me read this to you from Chuang Tzu. which is really more precious to you, fame or life? What is more valuable, riches or life? What gives you the most trouble, gain or loss? One naturally seeks after these things he most prizes. Therefore, one must be very careful about prizing the right things. There are things we do that become our eternity. The things we do that become our consequence in this world. The things we do that become our karma in the next life and the next life. You can say, well, I don't believe in any of that. And that would be typical of people. People who do not have any sense of benevolence. These people have to go through many trials and tribulations that are useless pain and suffering. But still, they must go through it. You will have to decide if you're going to be the supreme ruler of your own life. The one who avoids useless pain and suffering and consequences that are harsh and unnecessary. LaGuardia was teaching. He was not presiding. He was teaching. He was saying we're all responsible for this woman. Because we have no benevolence, none of you came forth to give her the coins, the money that was necessary to help feed her family. Well, why should you? It's not your problem. It's not any of your business. Why should you? You see, you don't understand when you have this attitude. We are all together in this mess called this world. And while we cannot cure the ills of everyone, we can help those who are before us who need our help. This is of utmost importance. We can give to each other. We can love one another. As Jesus said, love ye one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? He loved his soul. And when you and I have no love for our soul, when we're not in love with our soul, we will find that one night, one very desperate night in our life, where it's do or die, our soul will be required of us. But if we're not in love with it, if we have not nurtured our soul as we would a mate or a child of ours, if we had not given to that soul what we would have given to something we think we love, that night turns very dark. Give the benevolence, the attention, the kindness, the forgiveness, the mercy that you would want for yourself to anyone who you are with that requires your help. Stretch yourself beyond the ideals of what you can and cannot do. This is what I mean when I say, let love live you. It can be quite frightening to be so generous. Bring restitution to your life. You know you need it. We all do. Live to give. Let's meditate together in the benevolence of a loving kindness.